Welcome to another big match build-up show, and in this week are away wins and clean sheets. I hope you've all enjoyed your bank holiday weekend. It's back to work, blues for us, but it's only a four-day week and it's payday this Friday. Saints are back at home on Saturday with Manchester United, and we're on board with back-to-back wins in league and cup. It breeds belief amongst the fan base. And Manchester United, they visit St Mary's this Saturday, lunchtime in fact, but no longer a formidable, feared side they once were. So coming up then on this week's show, we're feeling the Brighton bounce and adjusting our usual matchday routines. And as for the opposition, I speak to United People's TV and find out why United struggled last weekend against Palace and how Saints can do the same against United this weekend.
There was no doubt we were getting 3 points at that point, and it was just to know that we can go into Man United next weekend and then the first international break and just know that we are moving forward and we're kind of super positive, and I think that can only bode well for us in the future.
It all depends, I think, on what you do, because if Southampton come out aggressive and try and play at United, you're going to leave space, and I think we're going to have enough to get in behind you and score. But if you play like Crystal Palace did, and you sit deep and you've got two banks of four and you make it very difficult for us to break down and then you set pieces against us, you might have the advantage.
My apologies also earlier this week. There was no download for the Fulham preview show. Sometimes life just gets in the way and you just want some time to yourself. But this episode is back to business. You can download it by clicking in the card above my head if you watch on YouTube, and available on most other audio platforms below the show. And we've also got a competition for you this week. You can win an exclusive Art of Football t-shirt of classic Saints shirts. So stay tuned to find out how you can get involved later on in the show. But for now, do let me know how you're feeling ahead of kickoff. Do let me know your team or your preferred lineups in the comments. But for now, let's kick off our Southampton versus Manchester United big match build-up show. So welcome along then to our big match build-up show. Join us on the line, bringing the Californian climate to the British shores. It's been a beautiful week, topped by 3 points. But Matt, host of the Southampton Delivery Podcast, good to speak to you once again.
Oh, thanks for having me on, Freddie. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
I mean, taking 3 points in the beautiful bank holiday sunshine, what more do you want?
Nothing. maybe a little bit more comfortable with 10 men or against 10 men, but overall, I can't complain about anything that we've done yesterday. And it's nice to, you know, it's nice to have some points on the board and look like we're moving forward. And that's, I think that's all we can ask for.
Progression, I think, is the word of the weekend, I think, and consistency is key. But we'll get to more of that later on. I guess let's start from the top then, around sort of 2 o'clock our time, you know, Saturday afternoon. Kevin Danso is revealed for his debut. He's in at left back, but he looked composed. He didn't look out of shape at all, and he brought a real threat from sort of throw-ins as well.
Yeah, the throw-ins were definitely a big thing, and it was kind of I was kind of laughing to myself as he just kept getting throw-in after throw-in after throw-in and throwing them extremely hard at people and then into the area and everything else. I thought he looked really good on the ball. I thought he looked comfortable. He looked strong. He can play football. I said on my show earlier, like, I am not sure I want to see him at left back all the time. Like, I'd like to see him at center back because I think that's where he's going to be best. And there were times when I thought he could have done a little bit more to support Redmond in attack, but that all that being said, he's 20 years old. He's playing out of position in the Premier League, the first time away from home. Like, no complaints about him whatsoever.
I mean, it also kind of reminds me of Jan Bednarek's debut two seasons ago. You know, he was introduced at right back, I think, under Pellegrino that season. I think he sort of played there maybe one more time after that.
Yeah. And sometimes it's just you got to get into the team and you do. I mean, maybe it just shows he's willing to do whatever he can to help the team out. And I thought the only interesting thing was Hasenhüttl kind of coming out afterwards and saying that he was going to always prefer him to Bertrand, even if Bertrand wasn't injured. And that was a little bit weird, but you know, I don't know his whole thinking behind it, but I'm sure it'll work itself out as we go forward.
And I think the bottom line is, you know, first win of the season as well, no matter how we sort of won it, but how important do you think it was to get those points on the board? There was sort of a bit of itchy feet and a bit of negativity starting to creep in under these last two results.
You know, the performance against Liverpool was there, and it didn't start well at Burnley, but the performance against Liverpool was there, but we didn't get the points to go with it. And then yesterday was kind of half and half. There were points in the match where we didn't look great. We didn't look strong, but we found a way to get the result. And I think that is really what is important. And I think that's going to ease a lot of people's kind of anxiety a little bit, you know, like we want to play good football, but we also have to put points on the board because we have to stay up. If you don't win, if you don't put points on the board, you wind up playing in the championship. And for a lot of people, that's not acceptable.
Well, it's probably even more difficult for you to get hold of championship feeds, you know, championship streams, you know.
It is. You have to be lucky with what they choose to offer you. And then, it's not as great. I'll be perfectly honest.
We're all in on the Premier League. But look, before the match, you know, Brighton, they were, I guess, a little favourite after sort of taking 4 points from the first two games, but defying the expectations. But as you say, sort of earlier on, you know, it was a bit cagey in the first half, and the game sort of turns on its head when Andone, what I'm going to say, stabbed his foot along Valerie's knee after half an hour.
Brighton definitely looked like they were up for it, and they were the better team, I would say, up until that point, and even maybe a little bit after that. And that just kind of came out of nowhere. And as soon as it happened, you could see Kevin Friend on the TV feed running across the pitch, reaching for his back pocket. And I was kind of like, is he going to, you know, because the camera angle that I initially saw, you couldn't really tell what had happened. It just looked like they came together. But he went for the back pocket immediately. And as soon as you see the replay, there's no need for VAR or anything else. That was a definite turning point. And then I think the other turning point is the having their goal ruled out for offside, which maybe, or whether it was keeper interference or offside, whatever it was, I think without VAR, that's definitely the linesman flag goes up right away and there's no even question about it. But I think that was also a big point for us too.
I think we were trying to make, well, I guess we're making hard work of it after Andoni's red card. And as you say, you know, put the ball on the back of it, but it was one of the most obvious kind of offsides and almost sort of interference in the goalkeepers you'll ever see in the entire division, you know. But it's these sort of decisions where they have to go to VAR just to, I guess, I mean, it's totally unnecessary, but I think it's just for them to fulfill the referee's confidence.
I understand them wanting to make sure this is right, but and wanting to make sure that it's not just that somebody didn't see it the wrong way. So I understand that. And I want the referees to be confident in the decisions they're making. I want them to feel like they have the ability to get those decisions right because they are big decisions. And there's not always a lot of goals in games. And so for them to be sure that that didn't need to happen and that didn't need to be there, that I think that's the proper thing for them to do.
I can't believe we're actually complimenting Kevin Friend after previous games.
Yeah, I don't think any of the headlines I've ever written about Kevin Friend in terms of podcast titles or anything have ever been kind. So maybe I'll have to change that. I think I put out a poll yesterday, you know, who was the man of the match? Was it Kevin Friend? Was it the away support, the sunshine, or VAR? And you know, they were all up there. So I think eventually the traveling support won. So congratulations to you guys.
Yeah. Well, there's a fantastic support actually in that way. And in the sunshine, you know, there's sort of 2,500 of us in there catching a tan, but you know, we came out of the traps against Liverpool in the second half. We came out really slowly. We sort of still asleep, you know, for the first sort of quarter of an hour of that half, but we saw absolutely no signs of that sort of Saturday afternoon. And as it sort of turned out to be kind of a smart substitute as well, Gineppo replacing Valerie, it appears that we are all in on fullbacks at the moment.
It was a bit weird. And this is the second time that Gineppo has come on and replaced a fullback. He replaced Bertrand last week. And for him to come on and have that kind of immediate impact and be able to put the ball in the back of the net like that, he just didn't fear anything, you know? He just said, I'm going to run at them. I'm going to take the shot on. And when it went in, I lost it. I thought it was great. And I can only imagine what it was like to be in the away and there with that happening. And he looked thrilled. Everybody was thrilled. And I think it just, the pressure kind of gets released once that happens and we can kind of continue just to play our game, even though Brighton didn't let up. Brighton kept coming after us. So you have to give them some credit as well.
And it was an absolute peach of a goal, basically his second touch, running down that sort of left-hand side of the pitch, cutting in on his right foot. We were discussing sort of around, well, after the game yesterday, what is his favourite foot? Is it his right foot or is he a left-footed winger?
I have no idea. I would, based on the strike, I would hope it's his right foot, unless if not, I think everybody in the Premier League is in trouble, you know? But cutting in that way and just having, I mean, it just... The keeper had no chance. There was no way anybody was getting there to keep that out. And you could just see, I mean, the ball was just beautiful. It was just, I don't know. It reminds me a little bit of that goal that Buffal scored, I think, against Sunderland, maybe, where he was kind of same area and bent it in. Only, you know, Gineppo's running at somebody and then cutting in, not kind of just pushing it towards the center like Buffal was. But it was fantastic.
He's almost sort of given us a different dynamic, if you like. Gineppo's sort of becoming a secret weapon. But as you sort of teased a moment ago, you know, Brighton did have a couple of opportunities to equalise. They dug in. I thought they were going to sit back, steal a point, in fact, bringing on Glenn Murray. But just as we thought that they might grab something and hitting the post on the far post unmarked. But Buffal, fantastic Maisie run, taking on drawing defenders away for a fantastic counter-attack, and all he has to do is square it across to Redmond, who's not going to miss him a yard.
Right, no. He scored from Raheem Sterling range there. You know, the back post, getting there, cutting across the defender and getting in there, I thought was great. I thought Buffal did wonderful on that entire build-up to the goal. Made the right decision, you know, and all the little decisions he made, they were all the correct one. And then I think it was also important for Redmond to be there in that moment, because I think so many times we've seen that ball go across and just nobody be there. And for him to attack that back post and do that, I think it was well worked all the way around. And once that happened, the pressure was completely off. You know, there was no doubt we were getting 3 points at that point. And it was just to know that we can go into, you know, Man United next weekend and then the first international break and just know that we are moving forward and we're kind of, you know, we're on the board and we had moments that we looked really good yesterday. I think that's all super positive, and I think that can only bode well for us in the future.
And Buffal came out earlier sort of last week, said he was 100% committed to the team, and it does appear that he's finally in the first team manager's plans. But Buffal, Redmond, Gineppo, all huge influence on the game on Saturday, all luxury players, but can we afford to play them all at the same time?
See, that I don't know, because I think then you'd have to lose either Romelu or James Ward-Prowse, and then you're looking at who's on set piece duty and who's doing, you know, who's making sure they track back. And Gineppo, I think, is a real two games, what did he play, 30 something minutes yesterday and just a couple of minutes of the game before, and two yellow cards already. You know, the smile is not going to keep you out of the book. So it's, I would worry about him maybe starting a game and getting booked early, but I don't know. I don't know if we can get all of them in the team from the start at the same time. I think especially Buffal right now, as long as he is comfortable with it and he's okay with it, and Ralph kind of communicates what we need from him, and he's willing to kind of take on that impact sub role and come on and play 25, 30 minutes or whatever it is, I think we can expect that from him. And I'm okay with Gineppo coming on off the bench as well, just since he's so young and you want him to retain that confidence and just know that he's got to go out and do it for 25 or 30 minutes and just put it all in there, you know?
Impact players, I think, is the, I guess, their role, if you like. But most certainly we have the wind in our sails, you know, after the 2-0 victory at the Amex. And we can also take confidence that United also lost at Crystal Palace at the weekend. And how are you feeling after this weekend's results? Are we feeling confident heading into Saturday?
I feel confident in the way we're going to play, in the way that United are going to want to play. And I think that's going to play into our hands a little bit. And I think, much like we saw last week against Liverpool, the guys will be up for it. I think the fans will be up for it. And I think all of those things coming together now will be great. And if we can just give away a couple of penalties whenever they seem to get in shooting situations, I think that we'll be fine, because I don't think they will score. Yeah. I just won't check Twitter for the next 24 hours after that happens, because it's been a mess for them. But, you know, I think we'll be okay. I think the game will be tight. But yeah, I am confident in the way we're playing right now. And what we can do going forward. And I think we'll be up for it, just because it's a big team coming down to St. Mary's.
And look, it is an early kickoff, probably even earlier start for you. Talk us through your match day routine if it's a 12:30 kickoff in the UK.
So that's 4:30 a.m. here. So I will be up at 4, and I will probably just make extra sausage espresso and be ready to go and probably get up and walk around at halftime just so I don't doze off. So. The nice thing about this is it'll be completely over before anybody else in my house or any of my neighbors or anybody else is awake. So I still
unless
have my
unless you wake him up by screaming and shouting,
that might happen. I I have stopped trying to be courteous at the 7 o'clock kickoff, the 7 a.m. kickoff. But 4:30, I try to be a little bit nicer. But we'll see.
All right. So United Saturday lunchtime kickoff for us. Then what are you thinking for a score prediction? I'm feeling a little more confident now after a victory last weekend.
I always have a tough time predicting us not winning, even if I think it's going to be. Even if it's going to be a tough game, I think I'm going to go 2-1. I don't see us keeping a clean sheet, but I think we'll manage to do it. That might be overly optimistic. I might be living off of the high that was Brighton, but I'll go with it anyway.
All right. Well, certainly take that 6 points after four games, more than expectations. But look, great to speak to you once again, Matt. I guess just remind everybody, if you haven't already subscribed and follow the podcast, tell us more about it.
Yeah. So the podcast comes out every Tuesday. The show website where you can kind of subscribe on all the normal platforms is southamptondelivery.com. And we're on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Southampton at @SFCDELL_IVERY.
Great stuff. Really good to speak to you again. And I guess have a nap and enjoy the rest of your day.
Well, thank you, Freddie.
Big thanks again then to Matt, the host of the Southampton Delivery Podcast, joining us all the way from California. And he'll be waking up at 4 o'clock on Saturday morning to follow the Saints. That is dedication. Do make sure you check out his show. Subscribe to it if you can by clicking on the card on YouTube, or all the links are available below the show. So he'll be waking up early. Do tell me how and where you'll be following the game this weekend. And of course, with an early kickoff in the UK, 12:30 for BT Sport Television, it will also mean that we're adjusting our regular routines. And of course, other local pubs also adjusting their opening hours this weekend. Pubs that would usually open at 12 are opening at 10 o'clock for early starters and hopefully some breakfast to start the day. And including our pals at the Five Rivers, who will be opening their doors at 10 o'clock and also be screening the game across all of their 13 screens. So they've got you covered just in case you can't afford a £50 or a £65 ticket at St. Mary's. On now then to our competition, and you can win yourself an exclusive limited edition Classic Saints Shirts t-shirt courtesy of The Art of Football by heading over to our Twitter page. Now check out our pinned post, that's a tongue teaser, and check it out. Tell us your favourite kit of the nine that's on the design. Give us a comment. Retweet the post and you're entered into the draw. Now, my favourite of those nine that's on the design has got to be the bottom left one, the home Sanderson kit in 1996. The pony kit, if you like, wasn't pony because it's quite apt, in fact. We are playing Man United this weekend, and that is the kit that we defeated the Red Devils at the Dell back in 96 against the infamous grey kits. So get involved, head over to our Twitter page, tell us your favourite, retweet the post. Entries close at 12 o'clock on September the 1st in the UK. So on to our on position now then, and to our second half. Find out how Saints can frustrate the Red Devils this weekend. Welcome to our second half then, folks. It is a little different this week and a pre-recorded feature rather than a sort of Skype call. But nonetheless, I have the thoughts from Sam, the host of the United People's TV YouTube channel. Well, let's get straight to it then, shall we? Tell us about United's start to the season. 4 points on the board, an emphatic victory to start against Chelsea, a draw with Wolves, and I guess against the odds defeat against Palace at home. Over to you.
How are you doing, everyone? Sam here from United People's TV for The Ugly Inside. A little preview for the upcoming game this weekend, United against Southampton. Now, the start of the season, we've had a win, a draw, and a loss. 4-0 against Chelsea, 1-0 against Wolves, and we lost against Palace. Now, that 4-0 definitely flattered us against Chelsea. Every United fan will say that, but we hit hard on the counter-attack, and that worked for United. Wolves, they sat a lot deeper, but that first 45 minutes against Wolves were fantastic. Second 45, not so much. And the full 90 against Palace, we were poor. So it depends what United turns up at Saints on Saturday. But if that team that played in the first 45 minutes against Wolves, I think that's the best we've played this season. If we turn up like that, we should have enough to beat you, I think.
Since Ferguson's left, though, almost 6 years ago, there's been a fair degree of instability, if you like, and there's been so much unrest. I mean, you're no longer a formidable side. I mean, where is the fear factor now?
In terms of United losing their fear factor, that's happened a long time ago. I don't think we've got it back yet, but as you saw against Chelsea, if we play against a team that's a bit more aggressive against us and leave space in behind, we're quick and fast on the counter-attack. And I think that's going to be United's go-to this season. So if Saints decide to sit deep and disciplined, which you should do if you've done your tactical research, it'll be hard for us to break you down. Unless Pogba has a great game. Pogba's hot and cold. When he's hot, he's incredible. When he's cold, he's poor. I haven't really seen the best of him so far this season, but fingers crossed he can turn up against Southampton, because if you do sit deep, we're going to need him.
If we talk about summer transfers then for the moment, a bit like Saints, in fact, United, I hear, almost need about three transfer windows to undo the wrongs recently. And, you know, United over the last sort of 2-3 years are going hell for leather, throwing big money at big signings, and some of them quite emphatically backfiring. Most recent examples, Lukaku and Sanchez, big monies now over in Italy, signed for Inter Milan. But the first transfer in about 20 years, actually, for Man United, where you've signed all English players. Is this a sign that you think Ole has been trusted by the board to build something? I mean, what is the plan now?
I think in terms of the signings that United made this summer, though, we made good signings. Harry Maguire, Aaron Wan-Bissaka both massively improve our defence straight away. Dan James, he's been our best player so far this season. Not sure what that's saying for the rest of the team, but he's been a breath of fresh air in a team which has been stagnant and full of mercenaries that are on too much money. United have made the wrong sorts of signings for years and years and years. And for me, the three signings we made this summer, for a lot of reasons, all make sense and tie towards this vision that what United should be, I feel, under Solskjaer. And he is going back to cliches, but some of the cliches might pay off. And after Mourinho and Van Gaal and Moyes, we needed a different direction. We need to refine ourselves as a club, and Solskjaer, I think, is helping that happen.
Just to round things up then, Saints might feel like we can get something here. As I said, you're no longer a formidable side. What can we expect of United this weekend at St Mary's?
In terms of what I think is going to happen this weekend, it all depends, I think, on what you do. Because if Southampton come out aggressive and try and play at United, you're going to leave space. And I think we're going to have enough to get in behind you and score. But if you play like Crystal Palace did, and you sit deep and you've got two banks of four, and you make it very difficult for us to break down, and then you use set pieces against us, you might have the advantage. So it all depends, I think, on how Southampton come out to play. Because against teams that play high up, United are good. But against teams that sit deep, United don't have enough creativity and quality at the moment to break those teams down. That's why we struggled so much against Crystal Palace and why we struggled in the second half against Wolves. But I hope United win and I hope you lose. I think you know that.
Big thanks once again then to Sam from the United People's TV YouTube channel, and you can check out more of his news and reviews by clicking in the card on YouTube, or all the links are available to the channels below this show. But summarising there, I think if Saints want to snatch a result here, we've got to soak up some pressure, sit deep and be disciplined, be patient. If Ralph wants to employ this high press, this high intense sort of tactics, we might leave ourselves vulnerable this weekend, and I'm not feeling confident in a foot race with Vestergaard and Marcus Rashford. Of course, we wait with bated breath though on the fitness of Nathan Redmond, who could be said that he might be United's biggest concern. We'll find out, I guess, in due course. But anyway, that's it from me. Do tell me your score predictions and maybe tell me your preferred lineups in the comments. Tell me how you'll be following the Saints this weekend, a 12:30 kickoff in the UK. Don't forget to enter our competition. More details are below. But for now, thanks for watching or listening along. We'll be back with fan reactions after Saturday's game. But for now, come on, you Saints.